You stive lime? I don't know what stive lime means.
It's probably what you said.
We strive lime every week.
YouTube. We're going to go off of YouTube. So if you're there, you can go over to Discord. If you don't know how to do that, you can click on, you can go to pride48.com.
You can go to clom.
Pride48.com. And there's a little.
Or clom. Both will work.
I think there's a chat button or something. You click on that. That'll take you to Discord. we'll be there.
Are we streaming on pride48.com?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you could also just from the front page of Pride48, just click on listen.
Well, yeah, you can do that too. But if you want to chat in the chat room with our thousands of chatters.
All right. I made a drastic miscalculation as to how much gin I put in that drink.
Okay.
Not nearly enough. So I need to, this one has none. So I'm just going to go around the corner and grab the gin. I'll be right back.
Oh, wait. Oh yeah. Lamont, glad you're still here. We actually finished maybe a little bit earlier than we normally do. Cause we normally start a little bit later and we've been going longer. We've been going almost 2 hours on the main show, which is just entirely too long. But we do have a few listeners who want as much length as they can possibly get. You know, we all want as much length as we can possibly get, but there's, you know, sometimes there's too much. Tony apparently only listens to The Mix and Geeky Gay. And so he needs stuff to get to and from work. But I don't know if Scott listens. The Seder, that is. Well, I also don't know if Auntie Scott listens. I think he listens to Geeky Gay. It's not like he's right there in the chat room and could answer, you know, a question if I were to ask. But So did you get my two shows this week then? Because somebody said they didn't get any new shows, but I put out two shows this week.
Okay. Oh, I hadn't muted?
I don't know. Did you?
I came over here to unmute and it wasn't muted. So I guess I failed to mute. Anyway. Hey.
Well, welcome back. Hey.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. It's not on the board, but did you watch Survivor this week?
Yes.
So do you have anyone that you are rooting for? Like someone who's like, you know what? I think I like him. I think I'm going to root for him or her. Do you have a favorite player?
I know that you guys have a problem with the curly-haired guy who is kind of brainy.
Christian? What do you mean? I don't have a problem with that. I love Christian.
Okay, Fatty. Maybe Fatty does. I don't know. Somebody does.
Yeah.
But I kind of like him and wouldn't mind if he did well. I like Suri, so... maybe that's a controversial opinion. And then any of the cute, like Rizzo, I don't think he is going to make it to the end, but you know, I wouldn't mind. And, the other cute guy,
always important. Charlie.
Yeah. I'm okay. Although they haven't really focused on Charlie very much at all.
Because there's 24 players and they've only been concentrating on the tribes that are going to go to tribal. Like it's like you have to understand why they're getting voted off. So you have to spend your time with the tribes that are going to be going to tribal. Probably
Christian, Charlie, Suri, Rizzo.
So I'm definitely pulling for Christian. And Cause I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Let's, I want the smart guy should win. It's like, yeah, that's, you know, that's how it should be. He's out there to make his mark. And I'm enjoying watching him play. I like him as a person. And, you know, so I'm kind of, but every fucking week he's been the tribal council every fucking week. Every week I'm sweating bullets, like going like, oh fuck, are they going to get rid of him? And
so he's your one that you're rooting for? Like, you just have one, or do you have multiple?
I mean, there's others I like, but you know, for the moment, yeah, I would like for Christian to win.
Okay.
I would like for Christian to win.
I can get behind that.
I would like Genevieve to make it to maybe final.
Boy, I'll say one thing. The last couple of people who've gotten voted out were really surprised.
Yeah.
And not happy.
Yeah. It was so funny because like, Q made that whole big speech at Tribal about how, like, well, when we do get voted out, we know that it's just a game and we're okay with it. And
then he's so just mad.
And it's like, and Q, the tribe has spoken. Go, you motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. He was, I mean, yeah. he handled it gracefully, but you could just tell. Oh. You could just tell he was mad.
Yeah.
You could see it on his face.
Lamont Cranston in the chat room says, I never listened to Sater before, but I'm listening to him and Christina on Nowhere News. It's fun hearing him talk about his new life near Pittsburgh. That's where my dad was from Pittsburgh.
Oh, they have a new show called Nowhere News?
Apparently. I was
Is it new? It may not be. It may be 3 years old.
I was unaware of a show called Nowhere News. I have a feeling that it's not going to fit audio-wise into my life.
Oh. I'm probably more lenient than you are.
Yeah. A lot of what I listen to is in the car, and I just, if you have inconsistent audio in the car, it's horrible. Like, it's either too loud and one side is really soft and one side is really loud, and you know, so.
Well, we'll see. I'm now using DaVinci Resolve for all my audio editing, and I set it up with the exact same template that you and I worked on when we first started using, Audition.
Yep.
But the leveling piece is in a different place. And so I think I'm doing it right, but I'm not 100% sure. So I need to go back and listen and see if I'm doing it correctly. But
yeah, I'd be curious. I was thinking about this the other day for like the after show. Like, I do the editing that I do for the after show involves figuring out where the after show starts, because I start recording way earlier. So I have like a 4-hour recording. So figuring out where the after show starts, that's step one. Throwing away everything before that starts, and then saving that out to, because when I get the master file, it's a FLAC recording. So I save it out to a WAV file so that Levelator can handle it. Toss it over to Levelator, and then open.
Levelator went away. Do you have that on some old machine somewhere? Because Levelator no longer exists, as far as I know.
I have the installation program for it.
Okay. But I mean, it no longer exists. You've saved that for...
No, it got picked up by somebody else. Somebody's maintaining it, because it's called Levelator 2.
Oh. videohelp.com.
Anyway, so I run it through Levelator, and then I compress it to MP3. You know, I shoot it out to an MP3, and then I upload it to the website and clone the post, change the dates, change the enclosure, and set the thing. And I'm thinking to myself, how much of this could I automate? And so I'm thinking, I could probably with FFmpeg take out the Audacity part, right? So if I took the downloaded file and
if you're doing something consistent that you know this is the decibel or this is the whatever, and you can feed that into FFmpeg, yes, you can do all that through FFmpeg. Anything that's always consistent.
Yeah. But it also has, I mean, I've Googled this. It's like FFmpeg has filters on it that approximate what Levelator does. Like it's kind of a normalization thing, but it'll make softer things louder. Like you give it a tighter range. Uh-huh. And it works. However, the output is too soft. So then I run it through FFmpeg again to amplify it because it's like they level everything, but then the overall level is softer than I want it.
Instead of the quiet stuff coming up to meet the loud stuff goes down to meet the quiet stuff.
I mean, Levelator does both.
They kind of meet in the middle. Yeah,
Levelator does both, but it sets a louder final product.
Yeah.
Which is what I prefer. Anyway.
By the way, just for anyone who was curious, Levelator exists on archive.org, but Levelator is no longer developed, maintained.
Yeah, but it hasn't changed. Just, I don't need updates to it. Is what it does is great.
Yeah,
the wave format it's has just not.
Whether or not it will work on newer, like Windows 11, or you know, eventually might stop working.
No, but I feel like in this day and age, you would put it in a Docker container and have it run Windows 11. You know what I'm saying? It's like you wouldn't. It's like you'll always have. That's the beauty of this, right? Is wave. The WAV format hasn't, you know, the WAV spec is the same. WAV files have been the same for the last 50 years. So why does it need to change? It's like Levelator works on WAV files and it's like it will always work on WAV files. And it's like we're not changing the way that we encode them. So, you know, as long as you can export to a WAV file, Levelator will always work until you die. Isn't that good to know? Anyway, so I was thinking, all right, so the tricky parts would be figuring out where the where it starts, figuring out where the show starts. But I was thinking, I was like, but I got this whole transcript thing that I can do. So it's like, I could just run the transcript and
recording stopped.
Essentially look for the ending tag, right? This show is part of the Pride 48, you know, the Vera tag, right? So it's like that, is we're not talking over it or whatever. And so it's clear. And it's like, that's usually, it's like, so, and we only play it once. We only ever play it at the end of the show. So I could just be like, you know, go through the transcript, find this spot. And then the next talking, you know, is the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Have it do that. Have it levelate it and encode it. And I suppose I could just have it stop at that point and let me play it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think this is the beginning of the show and I could just click play on it and then make sure it's like, yep, that's the beginning. It's like, that sounds good. Go ahead, complete. And then basically, and I feel like I could probably find a WordPress API somewhere. Like I could probably, I know that.
There is a WordPress API.
Yeah. So it's like, I could probably, I'm sure someone has solved the problem or AI could write it for me. Someone has solved the problem of how to post a.
Oh, yeah. That's so it's like, easy.
Yeah. So I could upload the media and, you know, get the URL back from that and post the new thing with the thing in it. And so I could probably automate the whole thing.
Probably. I automated the transcript part. I automated the tagging of the MP3 because I still do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people still do that, but I do. Mm-hmm. And so I automated that as well. But I never got to automating the uploading piece.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's been a we briefly talked about GWS last week, the Google Workspace CLI that they released. It is fucking awesome. There is a song and dance you have to go through to get it authenticated. That is, you have to have a Google Cloud account and then you have to, you know, authenticate it and set it up to do specific types of authentication and then authorize which APIs, stuff like that. But once you go through that and you do get it authenticated, it was difficult for me because my server is headless and it's, so the URL redirection thing wasn't
wasn't working. Trust me, because I was running N8N locally, and a lot of the N8N ones, you can use Google APIs, but you have to authenticate, and I had to re-authenticate a lot because it would expire.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to re-authenticate. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I, anyway, so I got out of that, but it's awesome. It is a dream. It,
now when you say, cause I didn't research, I should have researched it or I should have Googled it and saw it, but I didn't. Yep. So when you say Google Workspace, is it like a CLI that gives you the ability to just, you know, type out commands or something and it's using the API in the background, or so are you talking about calling the APIs from like a program that you're writing? Because the APIs have always existed. The APIs are there.
Yep.
Now, I mean, they were there before.
Right.
So I'm just wondering what the difference is.
So the difference is that it comes with the skills so it automatically and goes ahead and installs it as a skill for ChatGPT and for Claude and for Gemini. So then it's in your LLM. Right from within, it's like I can say, like, go through this code base, write out, possible improvements that I could make, put them in a markdown file and put it in my Google Drive in this folder. And, that I don't have to do anything else. It knows how to connect to Google Drive and to put it in the right folder. You can have it be like, hey, can you organize my Google Drive? Because everything's just in one folder, in one massive folder. Can you, put all the files in logical repositories or, with a naming convention, but, be generic. Like, it can do all that for you. It can connect to your Gmail. You can be like, hey, any new messages that come in, can you analyze them and decide whether they're junk or not? And if they're junk, just go ahead and delete them.
So I'm looking at Google Workspace /CLI on GitHub. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So you install it. And then it installs the skill file, the skill.mds for, I think I had to tell it I had Claude. It does ChatGPT automatically and in Gemini automatically, but,
okay.
But yeah, it's super, super nice. Because then, I can now get to my Google Drive from anywhere. Right.
Yeah.
So I can use it.
I wonder if this was already around or is it new? Workspaces has been around.
Yeah, but the MCP server piece is new. That's what this is. This is turning GWS into a CLI, right? So that it's written by someone from Google. It's not an official Google product. It says that on there. But it's written by somebody at Google. They probably will end up picking it up and making it, because it's so awesome. It is just so awesome. You can get to Sheets, you can get to Drive, you can get to Gmail, you can get to your calendar, you can get to Docs, you can get to Slides, you can get to your tasks, like to your to-do list. And like I use tasks all the time, you can get to that. You can get to your contacts, you can get to chat, you can get to forms, you can get to Google Keep, you can get to Google Meet, you can get to Workflow and Model Armor. And, well, Model Armor is a skill that protects your endpoints. But anyway, the point is,
are you sure it works for ChatGPT? Because I don't see ChatGPT mentioned in the documentation.
ChatGPT takes the same skill.md file that Claude does. Both Claude and OpenAI use the same skills.
They just don't have instructions in the...
Oh, well, didn't have it for Claude.
They don't mention ChatGPT.
Do they mention Claude?
Well, there's a .claude file, but I don't know what that
means. No, it's part of when you run the init program or whatever, it asks. It scans your system and it's like going like, I see you've got this one and this one, and then is there anything else? And you go like, yeah, I have I have whatever, whoever, the Anthropic. I have Anthropic. I can't write.
I've got to learn how to add skills to ChatGPT because I don't know how.
The easiest way to do it is to basically ask ChatGPT to do it.
Okay. It can do that. I can just be like, hey, can you add a skill to yourself?
So the skill file, all the skill file is it just tells it how to, I mean, it can be, it's just a markdown file. It tells it how to either connect to an API or to connect to, to something like that, right? To an MCP server. This is how you run the MCP server, to do standard in or whatever, standard in, standard IO. But yeah, it just combines all those things. It doesn't have to be an MCP server, so it's not restricted to, the MCP protocol only handled MCP servers. Boy, Tony from Illinois is loving this.
Can you share your screen to the Discord?
That's what I was wondering.
The thing that you built.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I can. Let's see. Share my screen. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run it first so that I get a window with it on it. So for those of you in Discord,
where do you see that?
If you want to see what I'm doing, what I'm showing, the video should be going out right now in the chat room. So I think you can click and see the video.
Oh, I do. Okay. I have to join. Oh, I hope.
You're fine. You're
my
muted.
Audio's muted. Okay.
Yeah, you're muted. Anyway, this is the mock interface that I have. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
This is the mock. Is it just this screen?
Yes.
Cool. All right. So it is. So this is just mocked, and so the home works, and then this is the episode thing. So, but before we get there, I did do the user thing so I can set my username and my email and my RSS feed that this will have other things in there. Anyway, so we go here to episodes, right? And we can refresh from the RSS. Anyway, here's the episodes, right? In reverse order. So 216, 215, blah, blah, blah. Over here on the side, you can manage the transcripts. You just click into there. And now you're in this workspace here where you have the speakers over to the left. So Daniel spoke 66% of the talk time and Adam
you,
spoke
I noticed
34.
You rounded it down to 60-40.
I didn't remember. There's this defragment transcript feature up here, which basically takes, because a lot of times the VTT will put the same speaker on multiple lines.
Yeah.
So this defragment pulls them all up into the single, and then from here I can just click on it to edit it. So if there was something that you said there that like a product name or something that I wanted to make sure that you was spelled right, I could just, I can click into it there and edit it. Once I'm done with this, once I'm done with all the editing and everything, I click on this little vectorize button right here, and that sets off it vectorizes it out into the, to the main, to the chat, right?
So why wouldn't you just have a setting to do that automatically? Because don't you want all the transcripts to be vectorized?
You do, but I feel
Isn't
like you
that
would,
the point?
But you, if you're going to, I'm assuming you want to skim through them and make sure they're right. I mean, yeah, I could probably just add a mode where it's just like, yeah, just do them all as a batch, right?
How far are you going to read into a transcript? I mean, that's a lot of text to read.
On our show, because we have a really long show.
Yeah. But I mean, I would at least have a setting to do a batch.
Yeah,
or to
okay.
do to
but
do
this
them automatically.
Is, this
or something.
Is MVP. This is just MVP. I'm not putting,
can I do you have a Jira? Can I
I'm
add
not,
stories?
Yeah, no. So this is where I'm at here. So this is how it looks. Wait, let me find one that doesn't have one. So like there's no transcript here. So here I can either upload it or I can generate the transcript, which I don't have working yet. I have it working manually, but I haven't gotten it working here. Primarily because I'm split between Windows and Linux. So it's like this dev machine that I'm running it on is Windows, which is not where the other stuff is. Not where the WhisperX is and everything that's over there.
Are you using C#.NET or what are you using?
Yeah, this is .NET 10.
Okay.
This is a blazer. So that's where we're at with Hoshi Mouse. So from here, the only thing I have in the database right now is episode 215. So let's see. Did Adam say anything about AI in episode 215? Yes, Adam said several things about AI in episode 215. He mentioned Big Fatty's AI show at this time code and stated, oh, she doesn't like AI at this time code. It's not the greatest formatting. That's what I'm working on right now, but you can see it hit three different pieces from the vector database from that show. So I'm going to get these reduced down, and then when you mouse over them, it'll actually show you the piece of the transcript that is quoting. So
are you using Claude or Gemini to help you code this?
Both, actually. I started with Gemini and was doing that just because I wanted to see how far Gemini could go with it. And it got to a point where it just wasn't understanding some. It got a lot of the main stuff done, but then it got to a point where it wasn't reading. So I switched over to Claude and, you know, say, hey, read through his files over there and figure out what this is. And this is what I want you to do and plan this out and do this. And so Claude did some of it. Gemini did some of it. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. It's all C#. It's like they can switch back and forth. Also, I did a whole Git thing with this so that all of the files, you know, the code and all the document files and all the artifacts, everything is Git repoed up on GitHub as a private repo. And then when I switch back and forth between my Linux machine and here, I can just push and pull the code back and forth, right? So I not only have the code, but I also have all the AI, all the status of the AI, you know, because the agents write to files to say where they're at doing things, right? So it's one of those things. But yeah, that was really, that's what I've been playing around with.
Nice.
For a thing. Let me show you, what was your other question? Something about CLIs, which I mean, I get level 13 can't see the video, so I apologize.
I thought they could. Oh, level 13
yeah,
can't.
Yeah,
the chat room
yeah,
can.
Yeah, chat room could, yeah.
Yeah.
So for Tony in Illinois, who is listening on level 13 much later, you know, it's a screen.
He's driving when he's listening, so he wouldn't want to be watching anyway.
Yeah,
he's driving. I'm the only one that watches stuff and drives at the same time.
So now that I have that working, right? So that has the basic concepts of the open brain working, right? I can take stuff, encode it, and put it in a vector, and then query against it, right? So I've written the MCP server that talks, you know, to the database. I've written the chat interface so that I can, you know, to test out. It's like I can send requests to it, you know, and the AI, the API call has the MCP attached to it, and it is doing what it's supposed to do.
I'm interested because I haven't. And this is too in the weeds for level 13, but you and I can talk about it when I'm there and you can show me. But the part about, because you're not going to send the entire database back and forth.
No.
Every time you make a call.
No.
So there has to be some logic in your MCP that knows how to query that database and only return the relevant
items. So it is.
And I would be interested in that because it's not just a standard, because you're just typing text, you're just saying, hey, when did Adam talk about blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And somehow you have to convert that into something that's queryable.
No, I don't. I'm using, so my MCP server is using semantic search. So it is putting itself into the LLM as a semantic search that has a memory, right? So it's like they can, when you ask about somebody who said something, it's going to do it calls a semantic search skill.
Yeah, but it does a search and then returns whatever was returned from the search.
Yes.
When you're calling whatever API you're using, what API are you using?
Gemini? On the back of, yeah, Gemini. I'm using Gemini.
Gemini.
Yeah.
So when you call Gemini, you're sending the results of that search.
Yep.
And the question.
Yes, correct. And contact. And then I also have a system message above that telling it what it's doing. It's like, you know, you are acting as an archivist for a podcast. Your job is to, you know, match the user's query with what was said in the show using the semantic search skill. Anyway, so I have that first part done, and that is, in essence, that is open brain, right? This will work. It doesn't matter what the LLM is, right? It doesn't matter that I'm using Gemini. I could swap out Gemini with ChatGPT, and it would still have all its knowledge. It would still have that, you know, it would still return the same quotes. I could swap that out with Claude. I could swap it out with a local LLM. It's like, so I've... The whole concept of open brain, right? I've divorced the context from the intelligence, right? So I've made persistent context up here, right? And so it's divorced from the intelligence piece. And that's the concept of open brain, right? Is that you, with this MCP server, you could, not this one, but with a slight modification of this, you could call it your memory and you can say, hey, store a memory about this, and it would automatically go and encode that, right? And it's like, now remember, you know, look through my memory to find out when I talked about some, right? That's how it triggers that skill, and then it goes and it searches, you know, that memory. Anyway, it's like, so that is the open brain concept. And so then I got to thinking about it, and it's like, do I want to specifically tell it to remember things? Like, that seems like, couldn't I? Because what I want is every time I chat with the LLM and it gives me an answer, I just want both of those things. Remember, I want a searchable history of my conversations with LLMs, regardless of which one it was, right? I want like a cohesive memory of, this is every time I've asked an LLM a question and it gave me an answer.
Because you want to be able to go back and it remember everything about you, including everything that you've talked to it about.
Right. Now, you know, you run the danger of overloading the context, right? Of giving
running
it
out
too
of space.
Much information. Not so much. I mean, it vectorizes things, so it's not. But the one thing that gets confusing when you just give it a lot of stuff is there are some things that you don't want it to vectorize. Is there some things you just want it to store, right? So I'll give you an example. The Wi-Fi password here is platypus, all lowercase. I want that to be remembered, but I don't want to encode it necessarily, because it's a concrete fact, right? It's like, I could just put it in a regular table, just a regular, you know, relational database. And by having it in that database, if 6 months from now I change the Wi-Fi password, I'm not clouded by that memory of 6 months ago when the Wi-Fi password was this, right? It's just like, I can now.
So a vector database can't make changes to records?
It can if you know what the records are. But how do you know what record that is, or what records that are around it? It's not a relational database, right? It scores thing off of the closeness to the meaning. And it's stochastic, right? So it's like, you're not going to necessarily get the precision of finding the old information and getting rid of it, right? But if you store it, so basically, I've been talking to Gemini about this design. And so I proposed a hybrid method where whatever information is sent to it, email, an email message, a chat message, a you know, a document, a PDF, whatever is sent to it, it will read it and decide what categories, what keywords apply to that, whatever it is, you know, come up with 20 keywords and an intent, right? From this piece, right? And then from there, it would then write the metadata into a relational database of this encoding that went in there relates to these keywords and, you know, has this intent. It's a piece of knowledge, or it's, you know, or it's a joke, or if it's, you know, it's whatever kind of keywords and things that it wants, right? The point is that when you ask those questions of like, hey, what was the joke that I heard about blah, 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 right? It can immediately narrow the piece of the vectors that it needs to search by looking through the, you know, filtering the static table first by those keywords, and then just searching the encoding IDs that are associated with them, right? Because I would just encode it over here. It gives me a UUID that I could just tie to that header piece. I know, Auntie Scott, but this is so cool. So then I thought,
he's doing a cartwheel. He loves it.
Then I thought, okay, I'm kind of back to the, because I thought, oh, it would be cool if I could remember, you know, if I could like feed it my web history, because then I could be like, oh, where I read an article 2 weeks ago about Scandinavia. Where was that? Right. And it could, and then Gemini correctly pointed out to me, he's like, yeah, but then you would have to go to those URLs, scrape them, summarize them, get, you know, so it would be a very difficult in the way that that works. And just the way that scrapers work and the way that they change things all the time to thwart those, it would be a very high level of maintenance, I feel, to, you know, the juice not being worth the squeeze.
Right.
So then I asked the question, I'm like, could I make a Chrome extension that, because I already have the article open on the page, could I make a Chrome extension that just sent, you know, like a picture of the page, or, you know, and then, you know, then we could OCR it or whatever, you know, something like that. Cause that would give us the same thing. And it was like, this is the part that blew my mind, Adam. Are you prepared to have your mind blown?
Yes.
I originally proposed
to Gemini.
Cause yeah, I was saying, help me design that. Help me think through these.
Sure.
Designs.
Okay.
So I said, you know, here's what I'm thinking is like, if I want to make a Chrome extension that when I click on it, will save the URL that I'm on and then let me paste in metadata to send back. And I'll just use the on Chrome Gemini to summarize it and make me keywords, right? And then I can just, you know, copy and paste that right into the thing right there. It's bada bing, bada boom. This is the part that blew my mind, Adam. It goes, oh, if you write a Chrome extension, you automatically have access to the AI on Chrome. Like that AI on Chrome, when you're like in Chrome and you click on that browse with AI and it opens up the little panel, yeah, and you can ask it the summary, that is running in Chrome. That is a local LLM. It is not leaving your machine. There's no outbound traffic on that. That is all run inside the browser. So, and you have full.
Is it saying that, or is there just an API that you can access?
No,
in the Chrome
extension? It is. It's running Gemma. It's running that ultra small model that they have. That Gemma model that they have. Yeah. The point is that it is running into, and you have full access to it, which means that you can make a single click extension on an article that you like. You click it, the AI can behind the scenes summarize all that and send it off to your database. Like, and it's done, right? You don't, no additional work. And I'm like, that is the coolest fucking thing ever. So that's my new open brain 1.5 is I'm pulling in all of my chat histories.
So you did that? You wrote an extension already?
No. I'm going to pull in all of my chat histories from Gemini and ChatGPT. And
who do you have to blow at Google to write an extension? Like, you just have to sign up for a developer account, and then do extensions get approved like apps do for like phone apps or
extensions will get approved if you publish them. Yeah.
Oh, so you're just gonna run it.
Yeah,
there's a way to run extensions locally.
Yeah, you can run them against your. You can you if you're the author of an extension, it will run on you because you're signed into Chrome under your account. So yeah, it'll let you run your own extensions.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to go through the rigmarole.
And they're just a file of some sort or a set of files or something. Anti-Scott, are you happy? Are you happy?
This is what a Chrome extension is, Adam. A Chrome extension is sitting down at a CLI and going, I would like for you to write me a Chrome extension.
Well, yeah, I get it, but I'm just...
So my point is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. It will just do
it. Who cares what it is, Adam?
Exactly.
It's going to be written for
me. And that's the beauty of it, right? You don't need to know how it's written or what it's written in or what it contains. All you need to understand is it can do these things and it'll interact with this product. And that means that I can use it to give me this in this way. And that, but that was so cool. I'd learned that right before the show that it was not only a native call for you to make from a Chrome extension, but is also just all running in the browser. So
cool.
That's freaking awesome. Yeah.
There's so much to learn at this point. I mean, I'm good at prompting. You know, I do a lot of prompting and I talk to ChatGPT every day. But I've Dockerized some things. Like I ran WhisperX, so I've done that.
Yeah.
And I did run a local LLM to generate music and sound effects. It sucked, but it was more about the process, learning the process and, you know, what I need to do. So I've done all of that, but I need to do some of the stuff you're doing as well, like vector databases and some things of that nature. But I'm assuming whatever courses I take, we'll probably cover a lot of this. That would be the hope.
I don't know if they will or not. But, I mean,
things are so new that maybe they won't because it'll be the course will not be able to keep up with how quickly things are coming.
You're like me. You have computers just laying around.
Yeah,
it's like it's super easy to run a Postgres server on any of them. And it's just like just throw.
Oh,
Linux.
I do that already. Yeah.
Well, that's all the vector. Literally, it's just a Postgres database with a vector extension.
It's stored inside of a...
It's stored in Postgres.
Relational? Because Postgres is a relational database.
Postgres is default a relational database with the vector extension. It's a vector database is a relational database. It's just, it's numerical.
They're tokenized.
Yeah. So it's like, if you can look at it, like you can see all the entries in the vector table, but they're all just arrays of numbers. They're just arrays of decimals. And you know,
while you were talking, I asked ChatGPT to explain it to me.
Yeah.
So now I'm fully up.
Cool.
It's like if instead of Star Trek, it would be an array that had like 0.25, .37, .82.
Correct.
Whatever.
It is a Dewey Decimal system for meaning. Where's my Trello? I don't even know where my Trello is. Where's my Trello, Adam? Where's my Trello? I minimized my screen
and now,
oh, there it is. I found it. It's back up. So I was listening to Geeky Gay. Must have been Geeky Gay because the caller was talking about your ducks. Was it a caller? Was it an email?
I don't think that was mentioned on my show recently.
Yeah, because
Brian,
I remember,
mentioned it in the level 13 chat room.
But I remember you saying specifically on your show, it wasn't to the level that I wanted to, but I might still do something with the QRSO. So I know you said that statement.
The quality of the ducks.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think you said that on Geeky Gay.
In level 13 today.
Oh, so you didn't say that? I just read it?
You read it. I said it in level 13.
I feel like you also, anyway, this is the thought that I had because I know I heard it on something.
The quality of the ducks was not something I would be comfortable selling.
Right. And to me, the ducks were always the dumbest part because what you need to, what you have, whether you realize it or not, is a super, super simple SaaS product, which is QR tracking. So you write the web piece that allows people to essentially claim it and put media onto it, whether it's a message or a picture or, you know, whatever and where they found it. You know, you write the web interface that lets that happen with the, you know, by them scanning the QR code. And then they get to enter and see the stuff that was all on that. And at that point in time, you now have something that you can give to any company that wants to do something like, hey, this exists and I can put your branding on it, right? It's like, so you can, like, all you have to do is just add, as you print out QRs, they go into this database. I'll give you the, you know, in the, once they're in the database, now they have a page and you can, you know, do it.
So yeah, like, I thought about that because it does need a web page. I mean, ultimately.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the piece. You don't need to spend money in inventory on plastic ducks or do any of that stuff. You have the product. The product is you, by scanning a QR code, you can track the history of something. And there's 100 different ways that that can be used. There's 100. So you just need to nail the web interface part of it, so that it is a really cool experience of, I scan this QR code, it takes me immediately to a page that I know exactly what I'm looking at and exactly what I can do. And it's fun, right? It's like, oh, look, here's pictures of this, you know, thing that we're, because you could do it with caches, like geocaching. You could do it with geocaching. You could do it with, you know, let people like purchase like a personal account or something for super low money, like super cheap, like $3 a year or something.
Well, I would have to figure out the generation of the QR code part of it. Cause right now I use a different website to generate the codes.
Yeah.
So I would have to figure out how they're doing it, which is not hard. I could literally say, hey, ChatGPT.
Yeah, write a program that will encode.
Write a program that generates QR codes.
Write a program that will encode a URL into a QR code. Yeah, that's anyone can do that. Like, you don't need to use a service. Yes, you can write a program immediately to do that, or ChatGPT can write a program for you to do that. And then, yeah, you can even have it, put it in a certain shape. It's like, you know, like make it look like a duck, you know, make a QR code the shape like a duck that points to my URL. And then you can just use your duck as a mascot or whatever. But the real marketable piece of that, the piece that is infinitely more interesting than the ducks is the whole QR tracking part. So I think you should, develop that part. Because the costs are nothing and the potential is huge. So I think that's something you should do.
If nothing else, I could put ads. And if people were using it, I could make money from that. But yeah. No, that's a good idea.
Let's see. I think that's it on my end. I talked about that. Auntie Scott left.
You ever watch Fringe?
I'm in the wrong room. I see Auntie Scott is still there.
Have you ever watched Fringe?
Fringe? Oh yeah, with Walter? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get into that now. Do you think I will enjoy it?
I loved it, so that probably means that you won't. if past is prologue.
It's procedural. It's got a sci-fi element. I love X-Files.
It does. And all the actors all are a delight. I forget the guy Dawson from Dawson's Creek. What's his name? He's the male lead. He's good. The guy that plays Walter is incredible. The girl that plays Olivia is great. You get Mitch Ferrer or somebody like that that plays their director and then later switches out with another guy. It's a great show.
I'm on like episode 6.
Yeah.
ChatGPT told me that the first season is the weakest.
Yeah.
But if I stick with it for season 1, it'll really get good in season 2.
Yeah, because I feel like season 1 is just level setting. And you got to remember, this is an older show. So it has, 20 episodes per season or more?
Probably, yeah.
It's one of, so they had a lot of time to fill. So they took their time setting the table. But ultimately, definitely worth the payoff. Have you watched this? Because we just started watching this Mayor of Kingstown. Did you ever watch that?
I keep muting myself. No, I haven't watched it. I thought it might be good because is it by the same person who does the Yellowstone, the Sheridan guy or whatever? I think it is.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So I probably would like it because we love Yellowstone. Well, at least I love Yellowstone.
It's Jeremy,
but I've never watched it.
Is Jeremy Renner? Yeah, we just started watching it, so we're like on episode 3. But yeah, it's pretty good. We like
after season 3 or something, he had that horrible accident.
Yeah.
But he's back to it now.
Yeah.
So they've.
But yeah, no, it's good. I like that. Wait, we're going to watch Mrs. Brown Boys on Prime. If you've not seen it, go now immediately to Prime and look it up. Mrs. Brown's Boys. Well, enjoy your movie.
Enjoy and tell Drew we said hello.
Yes. Hello, Auntie Drew.
We love you too.
No, it's Uncle Drew. It's Auntie Scott and Uncle Drew.
Well, Uncle Drew. Sorry.
Something like that. Hey, when you come down to visit, we can drive to California.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Amtrak. I want to ride Amtrak for fun. Is that something that you think would ever interest you?
So when I lived in South Carolina, when we first moved to South Carolina, I still had to finish up my college degree in St. Pete. And the way that I would get from Florida to South Carolina a lot of times was take Amtrak because they had a direct.
The way I got to Chicago when I lived in Oxford, Mississippi, mm-hmm. and I would go see my boyfriend in Chicago because we met when he lived in Memphis, which was only an hour away from Oxford. But he moved to Chicago while we were in a relationship. So I used to take a train once every couple of weeks to go see him in Chicago. But anyway, I think it'd be fun to do one of the ones that goes through like near the national parks and areas that I haven't seen of the country. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do the train in Alaska. I guess a lot of people like the train in Alaska.
I love trains.
Yeah, but you guys had already done the train in Alaska. So we didn't do it because Mark doesn't like to do things more than once.
I don't know if we've done that train. So if we told you that, because that one you have to have your passport with you or something.
Well, I don't know.
And I don't, but we both have passports. So maybe we did do it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We're taking a cruise some point. Because Luke and, fuck me. Rodan and Darwin have a couple of cruises slots open or whatever that we need to coordinate with them. Cast members, we get, discount on cruises, but it's very inventory based. So it's the discounts are deeper for a ship that hasn't sold out as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I'm eating. Why am I eating a fucking almond?
I don't know. Well, I don't have anything else either. So if we want to, we're losing Auntie Scott. So all that's left is Lamont, and he's probably asleep. So.
But what if he isn't? But what if he isn't, Adam?
Well, didn't we that commit? Means we haven't talked enough about AI to lull him to sleep. Didn't we commit to what?
Didn't we commit to our audience to be here for them?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you apparently are not as excited about that as I am.
No, I am. We talked about it. Did I not participate? I asked questions.
I know.
I said I need to learn that. I asked questions about the, it is cool. It's very cool. I even said when I'm there, you can show me in person.
I can.
You can. We can pair program. We can triple program with Gemini. It doing all the work and us just sitting there going, oh, that's cool.
Can you make it a little bit? Can that you move it you a did. Little to the left?
Yeah.
Can you?
I want the full text string. I just want an icon, please.
But Gemini loves fucking dark mode, man. Everything it writes, it puts in a fucking dark mode. Anyway, all right. Good night, Adam. Well, good night, chat room.
Good night, chat room.
I'm going to disconnect now.